In the book of Nehemiah, chapter 7. Is that fantastic record that I indicated to you a little while ago? It was burning in my heart to share with you a little of on this occasion. I think any of you who know me rather intimately and have worked with me in this ministry, not only here but all these other places where we're responsible for the ministry, know that from a human point of view, I hated to see this day come. For this has been the most difficult year of my life as far as the work of the ministry has been concerned. Almost 20 hours a day, every day of the week. And then a lot of heartaches that entered into. And of course, tonight, with my own brother laying nigh unto death in Indianapolis, to come to this hour takes a lot more than just the human stamina of B.P. Rearville. It has to be God. And tonight, I'm an attestation to the greatness of God and His Word. And I'm real thankful to be here on this 35th anniversary from a spiritual point of view, from a human point of view. I wish it had never come. But it's not B.P. that's important. It's the Word that's important. Men come and go. The Word of God liveth and abideth forever. If the whole lot of us died tonight, still not going to invalidate or make the Word of God inconsequential. It's still God's Word. And this Word of God has stood the years of the test of the time of all critics. The critics are God. The nincompoops are all dead. But the Word of God still lives tonight. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to live as long as men and women live in the Word and let the Word live in them. Men have always gone into captivity when they've gone away from the Word. And one of the great reasons our nation is headed into captivity is because they've been off the Word. They've been off the Word. All you've got's a little money. Take it away from you tomorrow, what you got left. Suicide. Unless you've got the Word, baby. It's the Word that makes the difference between success and failure. The children of Israel had the Word of God. They had great men. They had men like Moses, men like Abraham. Men like Joshua. That's why. Men of Israel had great men. But they wouldn't believe the word that they spoke, and therefore they went into captivity. And yet when they were in captivity, it was always somebody rising up believing. Israel was one of those. Nehemiah was another. And one day after they came back, had come back out of the Babylonian captivity, there's a record in this seventh chapter of Nehemiah, whom the people of children of Israel called the weeping prophet, because he's always crying about something. Yeah, they said he's a weeping prophet, you know, always yelling about something. So they loved him so much they dug a big old hole, filled it all full of dung, and he put him in there for a week up to here, you know, without flushing it. These children of Israel really terrific, you know. Well, anyway, before they got around to hating him too much, they had a great time hearing the Word for a while. And as long as this Word permeated their life, those children of Israel were fantastically blessed. If I had the next 3 hours to teach, if you're my core, we'd stay another three. And I'd just teach you what I know is written in here and the greatness of it. But it says in verse 70, and some of the chief fathers, they gave unto the work of the outreach of God's Word, the building of the temple, the teaching of the Word, and the Tirshatha. See that? T-I-R-S-H-T-H-A. That word means the ruler, the governor. That's what that word means. And that was Ezra. He gave to the treasury 1,000 drams of gold. That's $5,280. That was before the inflation of today, when it was worth $5.25 or something. 50 basins full, 530 priest garments. And some of the chief of the fathers gave to the treasury of the work 20,000 drams of gold. That's $105,600. and 2,200 pounds of silver. That's 140,000. Hey, they had a pretty good abundant sharing one day, didn't they? And that which the rest of the people gave was 20,000 drams of gold. That's 105,000. And 2,000 pounds of silver, another 128,000. You add it up. These were men and women who had come out of captivity. Well, where did they get the money? Well, the Babylonians paid it. They were glad to get rid of them. Sent them back, and they brought it along. And when a man opened the Word of God to them and they saw God's Word in all of its greatness, then they shared abundantly. That's where it all came from. So the priests and the Levites and the porters and the singers and some of the people of the Nethamins and all Israel dwell in their cities. When the seventh month was come, the children of Israel were in their cities, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate, and they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. You see, the book of the law is the scroll of the law. The scroll. And that scroll was lost when it went into captivity. It was lost in the temple. When the temple was destroyed, it got under all the debris. It's like those chimes that we dug out of the theater in Van Wert. By the way, they gave them to me back on my 35th anniversary. All reconditioned. They got them in the BRC. Beautiful. They also went over to Payne, Ohio, and got that window out of that place, the filling station, and refixed it for me and brought it over. A lot of interesting things happened on the 35th. Well, that law was lost. So they finally, when they got to rebuilding the temple, one day they were shoveling all that stuff out of the temple, you know, the plaster and all that. And lo and behold, there was a scroll. And they found the scroll. And what a day that was when they discovered that Word of God again in written form. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both the men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. Now this seventh month is that month which you and I know biblically was the Feast of Trumpets from Leviticus 23. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from morning until noon. Quit complaining. Before the men and the women and those that could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. It was a dais. They'd build up, you know, took some wood, laid some planks, and he stood on that. And beside him stood this fellow and that 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 fellow. They were on his right hand. Then on his left hand he had somebody, and then another body, and then a third body, and a fourth and fifth and sixth and seventh. Surrounded himself with these men who all stood with him. And Ezra opened the book. He opened the scroll, the word scroll. He unrolled the scroll in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above the people, just like I am here with you tonight. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen. Good old time Methodist meeting. With lifting up their what? And they bowed their heads and they worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground, which means they were so tremendously blessed they just fell on the ground. Put their faces on the ground, which indicates supreme humility. You've come to the end of it as far as you're concerned. And then also these following people and the Levites caused the people to understand what? And the people stood in their place. They were so taken over, taken in by the greatness of that word, they just stood there. When it was all over with, they just stood. Listen to verse 8. So they read in the scroll, in the book, in the law of God, distinctly. They didn't go... They didn't mumble along like, you know, you hear sometimes... They read in the scroll what? Distinctly. So that men could hear and understand if they wanted to. And they gave the sense of it, just like I'm doing to you. Just open the Word, give the sense of it. And they caused them to understand the reading. And you'll never understand the reading or hear God's Word until somebody does it distinctly and somebody puts it together that it makes sense. In Nehemiah, verse 9, which is the church of the governor, he was the new one, old Ezra, the old one, the priest, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, here it is, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Holy unto the Lord your God. Why? Because the Word had been found, the Word had been opened, the Word had been given the sense of, the Word was understood. That's what made it holy. Not because they fell on the ground and licked the dust. No. Therefore, he said, since it's a holy day, mourn not nor weep. I want you to notice this because there are nine things happen when you really get the sense of the Word of God and things begin to move in your life. Number one, don't mourn. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the Lord. Then, verse 10, he said unto them, go your way. That's number two. First of all, you hear the Lord and quit stewing about the past. They were mourning about how they had disobeyed God. They were weeping how they had been disobedient. And Ezra and Nehemiah said, it doesn't do you one iota good to weep and mourn about it now. It's over with. It's over with. Therefore, go. That's the green light of the Word. Go. Number two, eat the fat. Quit living off of the husks of the unbelievers. Start moving in where you claim your legal sonship rights, and you eat the fat. If they want husks, let them eat husks. That's right. No place in God's Word did a believer ever have to eat that kind of junk. The Word of God says that God blesses His people abundantly. God's people are not poverty-stricken. God's people are not defeated. God's people are not the negative. If anybody wants to be negative, let the unbeliever be, but not the believer of God. So he said, eat the fat. That means the heavy stuff. Number four, drink the sweet. I think that must have included some good wine or something. Number five is very important. And send portions unto them for whom nothing was prepared. In other words, you with an abundance take care of those that were didn't get so abundantly blessed because they didn't get around at the right time. It's going to be a tremendous day in Word and Business when we open our own, I call it a bank. I don't know what you guys call it. It'll be the first time again since the book of Acts that believers have helped believers. That believers didn't have to go to an ungodly bank and borrow from people that don't know God or His Word, much less care about it. Boy, what a day that's going to be if our believing is there. You just watch how God's going to bless that. God's never failed to bless His people. Shoot, if any of you here want to keep your money in an unbelieving bank, go right ahead. Good. Okay with me. I don't give a hoot where you put it. Dig it in the ground. Sit on it. I don't care. But for some of us, we know the Word. We help one another. You bet your life. When a young man wants to start in business, he's right on with God's Word. The church ought to help him. A young woman that wants to start, the church ought to help. You don't go, you're just not a believer, and then you go to an ungodly bank and say, look, I need some money. You know what you get from them? You've got to sign your life away before they'll ever give you anything. Why don't you turn to God and believe God's Word? Then things will move. I hope our believing, I trust it'll be big enough at, you know, wherever we're going in January that Vince talking about, that we can launch that thing. Boy, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Number six, neither be ye sorry. Don't be sorry. And finally, number seven, for the joy of the Lord is your what? There it is. The joy of the Lord. What brought the joy of the Lord? People, the Word of God brought the joy of the Lord. The unrolling of the scroll, making the sense clear, telling it like it was and reading it, giving them an understanding. That's the joy. That's the joy. Boy, oh boy. That's something. Well, and all the people went their way to eat and to drink and send portion to make great mirth, because they had understood the word that was declared unto them. And on the second day, you know what they did? They gathered together, the chief of the fathers, all the people, priests, Levites, and Ezra the scribe, even to understand the word of the Lord. And they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in the booths in the feast of 7 months. They hadn't even remembered that. So they got together and they proclaimed they ought to get to do this. So they got palm branches and made booths. Verse 16. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, everyone upon the roof of his house, their courts, and the courts of the house of God, in the streets of the water gate, in the streets of the gate of Ephraim, and all the congregation of them that were come again out of captivity. They were come out of what? The only way you ever get out of it, people, is to come back to God's word. That's the only way any man or woman will ever come out of any captivity. You've got to come back to God's word. Boy, that was here tonight, we'd sing, "You've got to come back." Well, if she isn't here, it's still the truth. You've got to come back to God's word. For since the days of Joshua, the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so. And there was very great what? There wasn't just gladness. There was not just great gladness. There was what? Say it again. That's what it says. That's what it means. And you don't need a commentary to understand those words. Okay. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, which is 7 days, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, which was the Sabbath, a solemn assembly according unto the manner that was described in the word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're at our 35th anniversary tonight because some of us dared to believe God's word. We are here at the 35th anniversary tonight because of the integrity and the accuracy and the greatness of the word. And by God's mercy and grace, if there's a 36th, it'll have to be because of the accuracy of the word. Outside of the accuracy of God's word, there's nothing in this world. There is nothing. There is nothing. You can belong to every church, every denomination, every social service club, every Kiwanis, every secret service organization. You haven't got anything until you come back to God and his word. And ladies and gentlemen, that's right. And for the most part, the United States is still so dark, they don't know the word. They got religion up to here. They got empty filling stations on every corner that do not know the word. It's the word. Boy, you're a dead bunch. I'm going to trade you in. Look, I don't care what they do, but I care what you do. I'm concerned about tonight because none of you are ever going to walk out of this tent tonight and say you didn't hear the word. Now, you may not agree with it. That's your responsibility. But I want to tell you something. You heard it because I just read what's written. And ladies and gentlemen, if I can read what's written and make it so plain that you can understand it, then if you don't want to believe it, that's your privilege. On the other hand, if you want to believe it, it's your privilege too. And if I were you, I'd go to God's word. Because if there's any one thing our country needs and our day needs and our time, people, it's the word. They don't need ecology. They need the word. They'll clean them up. Are they? Look, it's the word that solved their government problems, solved their social problems, solved all their problems. It's the word. Ladies and gentlemen, God has not changed. It's still his word. And it's his word that liveth and abideth forever. Men come and go, but that word of God endureth forever. And when she's all over with, we're going to be judged by the word. Boy, I think in that film, when, what's his name, says, people come to me and say, why take the class on power for abundant living? And he says, they are men and women who've got it together, they think. And so I say to them, what, you know, historically 60, 70 years, he said, and then, a hole in the ground. So I say to them, what about Jesus Christ? God raised him from the dead and you get eternal life. What's the difference between eternal life and 70 years in a hole in the ground? You got to be stupider than stupid not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in his word. Because I want to tell you, if you just want a hole in the ground, that's all you're going to get without God and his word. But boy, when you come to that word and that wonderful son of his, Jesus Christ, man, that's life. Not only life now, but life throughout all eternity. And ladies and gentlemen, you've got to be stupider than stupid not to get born again. That's right. And then when you're born again, you've got to be stupider than stupid not to come to the word and let the word be your instructor, your teacher. And only men and women who read it so that you get the understanding of the word. Ladies and gentlemen, I did not go to the latest periodical tonight to interpret the word for you. I didn't go to the greatest political leader to read you what he said about it. I didn't go to the commentary. All I did is take a little Bible and read you the word, and I made this sensible to you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our ministry. That's why we're here for the 35th anniversary. And by God's mercy and grace, if the Lord tarries, we'll be here 35 years from now. I may not be here, but the word will still be here if men and women stand on that word.